my friend Steve, who was also at the conference, and I said, you need to meet this guy because you're doing exactly what this brother here is asking for. And so I was able to connect them, and there was actually through that connection, we were able to make a connection. And we exchanged emails and numbers, and we stayed in touch. And actually, Pastor Stephen came when we were still in Snowshoe, when we were ministering in Snowshoe. And then in October of 2019, I was able to travel to Ghana. And I told him, I said, I'm going there. I want to preach. I want to preach. If I'm going across the ocean, I want to go and preach. So in 5 days, I preached 7 times in different venues, and it was a real blessing. Some of those he translated, some of those he didn't. But it was just a real honor to serve there. And we had many meals together, so we really got to know one another well. And the hospitality there was just wonderful. So he's a true friend. He's a brother in the Lord. And he loves Jesus. He really does. So, brother, come and share your heart.
Good morning. I'm so privileged to be here. I don't take this lightly. It is the Almighty God who has made it possible for me to be here. And I want to say that you have a good man as your pastor, because in these days, people don't tell the truth. They say one thing and then they do another thing. But when I met him, he has proven to be a man of his words. So all I can say is I love you. I love your children, your family. And the children have seen me before. So yesterday when I arrived, they came around me very excited, and they started talking about their chickens, and all the chickens have names, and I asked them, so when you call them by their names, do they come to you? They said, not really. I said, uh-huh. So it helped me to actually prepare my sermon in the night. And I'm going to talk about my mother's hen. My mother somebody gave us a gift of a very small hen, which became our family treasure. Because that small hen grew up and started laying eggs. The first set of eggs were 11. It hatched them all, and none of them died. Then the second one was about 12 or 13. But anytime it lays eggs, it hatches all. And we have 2 seasons in Ghana, or in West Africa. We have the rainy season, which starts from April through October, and then from October through March, we have dry season. It doesn't rain, but that has changed now. 50 years ago, yes, it was. But now it rains even in December, which wasn't possible in those days. So anytime the dry season comes, all the chicken hawks come home, come to town, because there is no more frogs and fish in the small rivers, the streams dry out. And they come to the village or the towns to catch chicken. And my mother's chicken was so wild that it would fight off the chicken hawks. So all our chickens survived. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Yes. So last night I was waiting on the Lord, and God gave me Luke chapter 13. Actually, I've been meditating over it many weeks ago. And I said, these children have confirmed my message. So I didn't change it. I had two messages, but I said, let me preach this one. So thank you, Pastor Daniel, for giving me this chance. I believe God is going to manifest himself this morning. Shall we pray? Lord, it's not by might, nor by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord. So we invite your presence this morning. Come and heal us. Come and revive us. Come and teach us your ways and your word, so that from this moment we will arise and begin to seek you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. My topic this morning is the gathering of God's people. And this, let us go to Luke chapter 13. Luke 13, verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to gather all of God's children unto himself. But he was crucified. They rejected him. And before he went to the cross, he cried over Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem is a chosen place for the throne of the Almighty God. Let us go to Psalms number 132, verses 13 to 18. God chose Jerusalem to manifest his presence on earth. And we can find this in verse 13 of Psalms 132. For the Lord has chosen Zion and hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David bud. I have ordained a lamb for my anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, that upon himself shall his crown flourish. Jesus wept over the city and the temple of God in Jerusalem because they have ceased to serve the purpose for which they were intended. people had turned the temple of God, which is God's house, into a market. Today, in many parts of the world, people want to hear what tickles their ears, and they frown at the truth of God. So anywhere the truth is being preached, we have less attraction. But where people tell stories and talk about prosperity and prophesy, you see thousands and thousands of people go to such places. And I was so glad when Benny Hinn came out about a year or two ago in repentance for all that they did in the past, preaching the prosperity gospel. See, when I was young, I saw the Lord in 1978. The messages in those days were full of power, repentance, and the coming of the Lord. And many people repented and sought the face of the Lord. But today, you know, people go to church just because it's very full of fun. They go with their girlfriends, go with their boyfriends, they go with people's wives, go with people's husbands. Nothing touches them anymore to repent, because the gospel itself is just something people want to hear, but not what God is saying to his people to bring them to repentance. That is why, you know, the first time I went to London was in 1983, when the plane was touching down. Actually, we landed in Holland first. And the plane didn't go up further because Holland and London are, you know, just close. So I was just by the window looking outside. I saw the beauty of Europe, London. And a voice said, "Do you see all that the missionaries left to come to Africa?" I said, "Yes, Lord." Many years ago, Africa was really not developed, but today it has changed. There are many African countries where you see beauty like it is over here. But take 50 years or 100 years back. So the missionaries who sacrificed their lives to leave the riches and prosperities of the Western world to go back to the dark land of Africa, let us not forget those people. And it's no wonder I've become a missionary to my own people. God brought me here 23 or 24 years ago. I'm a citizen of America. I had a job that promised me a good retirement. But 4 years before my retirement, God said, "Go back to your people." I said, "Lord." He said, "Choose between me and your retirement." So I left my retirement and went back as a missionary to my own people. And I love it. I haven't regretted. I know God will reward me in future. Because everything that we see, we will not take with us when we die. The things that we did for him is what counts. So my friends, this morning, God is calling us back. And I'm here to sound the trumpet to you that arise, wake up, and begin to seek the Lord. The same message is being preached all over the world, calling the remnant of God's people, those who really love God, to come to prayer. It is time for us to hunger and thirst after God like the prophets did, like the apostles, the days of the apostles. It is time for us to leave our breakfast or lunch or even the whole day in meditation and prayer and asking God to save our families, our friends, the world, because Satan seems to be winning. The youth of today don't love the Lord. Many people have turned their backs to the church. Cathedrals, which sent missionaries outside, have now been bought by Muslims, turned them into mosques. Some cathedrals have become discotheques, drinking spots. Where is the old faith? Where is it? The faith that we received from our fathers, the faith that the missionaries died for, where is that faith? Where is that fire? I think God has brought Pastor Daniel here for a purpose. He has brought me here for a purpose. I am here only to sound the trumpet, to encourage you to arise and do something. You know what? In our second church in a village called Obuadaka, where I went with Pastor Daniel, I had two missionaries visit 2 years ago, and I showed them the water that those people drink. It's like coffee, putting milk in a coffee. You see the color? That's the color of the water they were drinking. And I was very sad. I said, wow. So I showed it to them. And one of them promised to raise funds for a borehole to be dug, you know, in the village. So I had the money. And we brought the drilling machine, a big truck. And the place is very rocky, just like over here, mountains. The guy, you know, the machine started drilling. They had, I think, 10 or 12 feet long drilling machine or pipes. So every length deep, they will bring out the sand, observe it, and say, no, it's not time yet. So they kept going and going and going till the last one. And then when he saw the sand from, you know, that deep, he said, Reverend, I said, yes, we got water now. I said, where is the water? He said, yeah, here's it. But it's just powder. He said, no, we have hid the water. So the next day when we came, there was water everywhere. They put all the equipments in, and I was the first person to taste it. And now the village has a very good potable drinking water. Why am I saying this? I'm talking about prayer. You see, there is water here. We can drill until we hit water. But it's not going to be 1 foot or 6 feet deep. We have to go deep and deep and deep before we hit water. So shall our prayer life as a church be. If you only come for 30 minutes of prayer, increases to 1 hour. Go deep. Travail before the Lord. And before you realize, revival will break. All these empty pews will be filled because God has heard our prayer. But it's not going to come with only 30 minutes of prayer. It should be deeper and deeper and deeper. Would you say amen to that? Amen. So I'm speaking to your heart right now, that this is the time to arise to support your pastor. Set up a prayer group. Not only an ordinary prayer group, but people with passion to seek God until he's found. These are the people God is calling out. Would you be one of those people who travail until you see a change in the church? There is a need for revival, my friends. Joel chapter 2. You see, God is about to do something. He will do it. With or without you, he will do it. So why not get involved so that you can boldly boast of what is happening and say, oh, I was part of it. I was part of it. Amen. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. The call to repentance. Therefore also now, says the Lord, turn ye to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet. That's what I'm doing now. I'm blowing the trumpet. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is your God? 18. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer. The Lord will do what? He will answer. But we need repentance. Repentance from what? We are all saved. But we still need repentance because we are not doing much. We are not giving ourselves to prayer. We need to pray. Maybe one person in this church can pray this church back to life. Your travailing prayer will turn things around. Is God speaking to you this morning to arise and shine? God's eternal plan is to unite all things in Christ Jesus. To achieve this, he is gathering to himself a vast assembly from every nation. God is gathering his people to seek his manifest presence, his glory. You see, it's not only in America. God is calling people from America. He's calling people from China, calling people from Russia, calling people from Europe, calling people from Africa, and all over the world. there are a remnant of Christians who are hungry and praying for a big change. They are praying for revival. This church should be part of that movement. Who knows where the revival will break first? It could be from this church. The whole Pennsylvania will be coming here because the fire of the Lord is lit and is burning. You know what? When or if revival breaks, sometimes people will be driving by and they'll just come to the parking lot, park their vehicles, come here with weeping, asking God for forgiveness without anybody even inviting them. It has happened many times. There was one revival in which deep in the night, people woke up crying and they went to the police station to confess their sins, asking them about what to do. And the police said, go to the church. Amen. Go to the church. The police station is not the house of God. Amen. Shall we pray for revival, please? Let us pray for revival. Let us seek God like drilling for water. Let's go deep and deep and deep until we hit the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will manifest to only the people who are hungry for the presence of God. If we are hungry for His presence, He will show up. Because He will not cast His pearls anywhere unnecessary. He will only deal with those who are serious with Him. This is why He called for the priests. He called for the elders. He called for the bridegroom. He called for the bride. He called for even children to come to the house of God to pray and seek His face. And then God says, I will hear. I will listen to your prayer. So His wings are spread wide to gather all peoples to Himself. I am thirsty for God, I'm telling you. I want to see a revival. I want to experience it for myself. I have read about it. I have heard people talk about the good old days, and I want to be part of it. Will you be part of it, Pastor Daniel? Will you be part of it, my dear brothers and sisters? Let us not beg you to begin to seek God. Develop that desire in yourself. Even if you come, you have to come and sleep here overnight, leave the comfort of your home to come and wait overnight. Let God see your hunger and thirst for Him. God is waiting for you. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. God is so near to us. Is His name not Emmanuel? Yes, He is Emmanuel. He is with us. But you see, I have money in my pocket. It's not enough to buy a vehicle, but it is money. Can you buy a vehicle with $20? No, you need more of it. We need more of the Holy Spirit. We need more of Him. Let us not be satisfied with the little we have. Let us cry unto Him that, Lord, release more of You. Release more of Your presence upon our church, upon our family, upon our friends, upon the nation. And the Lord will respond. by manifesting his presence in this house. And then you see the big difference. Why do we have to seek God? We seek him for his glory. And the glory of God represents his manifest presence. Israel didn't know their God, but God had to manifest himself on Mount Sinai. They heard all the thundering. They saw the smoke of fire and the clouds and everything involving that encounter. That was the manifest presence of God. I'm not saying it is going to thunder in this church and the seats will be rumbling here and there. No. But when his gentle presence comes to this house, there will be liberation, liberty. There will be joy. There will be praise. There will be worship. There will be deliverances, healings. The blind will see. People will leave their wheelchairs. Clutches will be thrown out. You see people jumping for joy because of the manifest presence of God. Don't you desire to see this? That's my desire. And that's why I'm here to talk to you this morning. I believe God is speaking to your heart. How many people will show up to pray every Wednesday? I saw it in the bulletin. How many of you will come? How many people do come or came before today? Ever since you've been praying, when was the last time you were here to pray? This is where repentance comes. So if you repent this morning, then on the next prayer day, the house will be full. And when our voices go up, the glory will come down. And don't expect it to be suddenly. So you come today, you come tomorrow, you come the next day and nothing happens. You say, oh Lord, I'm disappointed in you. No. That machine went deep, 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 more than 100 feet before striking water. So until you see the glory of God manifest in this house, give your eyes no sleep. Wake up midnight, wake up early morning, pray in your houses, come to church, declare times of waiting, come with your pillows. Sleep in the church. Wait on the Lord. Make fun of it, you know, make a passion out of it. Hey, our church is praying. Invite your friends. Come to our church. We are having prayer breakfast or prayer meeting. And you see, as you go on and on and on, something will happen, definitely. Because God is about to do something. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14 says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as water covers the sea. This is waiting to happen. That the glory of God is coming. God is going to touch many people. God is going to raise a remnant for himself, people who love him. People who want to seek his glory. People who want to pray until something happens. It is you. You can do it. We have to repent. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is very popular everywhere you go. Every Christian, or most Christians, know this. If my people called by my name, if they would do what? Humble themselves and also turn from their wicked ways, which means repentance. So you see, God is waiting on us. because he's about to bring his glory. Do you know that all that is happening in the past 1 year or 1.5 years is nothing compared to what is going to come? The government can do nothing about it because it is a spiritual warfare. Satan wants to destroy. God came to save. He came to seek and find all that is lost. And if by chance or by his grace we have known him, why not stand in the gap for those who are yet to come into the fold? We are losing all our children. If there is a football game this morning, go and see how many people are there compared to what you see here. It's supposed to be the opposite. The house of God should be full. The stadium should be empty. Go to Europe. They have the Church of Barcelona called Barcelona, the football club. It's a church. We have Liverpool. We have Manchester United. We have Arsenal. We have Chelsea. These are very powerful clubs where every morning, every Saturday and Sunday, people go to the stadiums. They are all full. Sometimes you see parents go with their children. Instead of going to the church with their children to teach them the way they should go, so that when they grow, they will not depart from it, they are rather going to the stadiums. So if a 7-year-old boy goes to school with a gun to shoot people, and you say, oh, what is happening? How did we get here? Don't you know? You don't know? You failed your test. We failed to develop the children. We failed to teach them. So this morning, I want the Lord to speak to you. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. You know of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God is with us this morning, and it is my prayer that the Lord touch you and set you free from any or every oppression of the devil. Say amen. Amen. Are you sick? Is there anything tormenting you? The Lord is here. His presence is here this morning. And as we all stand up, I want us to pray. I want you to pray. I want you to pray a prayer of repentance. Tell the Lord. Tell him about what you want to do for him in this house in order to see all these pews filled. And then we will break this wall and break this side to enlarge the sanctuary because of the harvest. I will declare next year, forgive me, as the year of harvest. Would you say amen to that? Amen. The year of harvest, because you are going to do it. Your prayer is going to seek and find those who are outside the fold to come back. So pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. I commit my brothers and sisters into your mighty hands. Lord, you sent me to deliver this message, and I've delivered it. I want you to inspire them. I want you to rekindle their fire, the fire that is so dim in us. Trim it up like the five wise virgins. Because the trumpet is sounding right now in our ears. The bridegroom is coming. Are we going to shine? Or do we have to go back to the city to look for oil? Only to come out, to come back to be locked out. Or when we hear your voice, are we going to go in with you to the gathering of the righteous, to the gathering of the redeemed? Father, help us this morning. Send down the Holy Spirit to quicken us. Send out the Holy Spirit to inspire us to arise and begin to shine. For your glory is come. Help us, Lord. Heal us this morning. If there is anyone here sick or troubled or oppressed of the devil, in your name, Jesus Christ, may you set that person free. May you bring healing upon the house. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Let us all say amen. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.